when I began writing this, I had to ask myself, what is the best way to write a review about how I had my son's foreskin removed by a medical professional? And this is what I decided on. Dr. Chang and the New Westminster Clinic were great. We had our son circumcised, and the whole experience was easy from start to snip. Booking online was seamless, the resources supplied were helpful, and all of our questions were answered in a timely manner. The clinic was spotless and had excellent COVID protocols in place. The assisting team were polite and caring, and Dr. Chang was awesome and made the whole operation quick and clean for our son. I'll admit, while explaining to my manager that I'd be taking photos of my son's new and circumcised penis and then sending them via email was comical and somewhat stressing, I'm glad that the Polyclinic has grasped onto technology to facilitate treatment and ensure timely responses and treatment. If I could get another foreskin removed, I would, but they did such a great job the first time. 10 out of 10, would recommend. I would have given them 6 stars, but they don't validate parking. And that was the review I left.
Oh, wow. Welcome to episode 18 of the New Baby Who Dis podcast. I am very excited for today's guest. He has been a buddy of mine for a while. I'd like to bring on to the podcast Nano Hawa, correct?
Nailed it.
Perfect. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy that we could finally do this. We've been talking for about 3 weeks now, so I'm really happy to sit down with you and go through your experience, as I believe our babies are pretty close to the same age.
Yeah, you have a daughter, correct?
I have a daughter born January 9th.
Yeah, and my son Otis was born December 31st.
Wow.
Yeah.
December 31st.
December 31st, 7:53 p.m. Yeah.
Okay, well let's start with that, because obviously it's New Year's Eve. You're about to come into a new year, so give me a breakdown, maybe the week coming in, and then when it all happened.
Yeah, so Otis was due around December 28th. So we were always expecting that kind of time frame. And because I travel a lot for work, I was making sure that I wasn't going to be going anywhere. Like, I wasn't going to go to a rural part of British Columbia or have a couple days in Prince George. I made sure that, no, I was going to be in town for this duration of time. We're going to make it happen. And then December 28th rolls around, no contractions, nothing's happening. So, okay, it's going to be a day. December 29th rolls around, still nothing. I'm like, okay, babies go there back and forth. I'm like, I really hope this kid doesn't come on New Year's Eve or New Year's. That's just going to be a craziness. December 30th, near the evening, I think my wife started having some contractions, but nothing too serious. So we went to the hospital at like 4 in the morning, going into the 31st. They checked in on us, and they're like, no, I'll go back home, come back when they're a little bit more. But because Otis was small for gestational age, they let us come back like within an hour. And before we came back, we got dinner, and we got this like shitty pizza. And we were hoping it was going to be really nice pizza. We thought we were going to go big and get a nice pizza, but we got like, it was a terrible pizza.
Yeah.
I think, to our credit, that started the contractions properly. So we got back on site, and then we were admitted, and like a couple hours later, Otis was born. 4 hours later, was born. And
wow.
Was a
4 hours.
Yeah, it was very, very short. It wasn't not even that long. We were in and out pretty quick. Like, once they started actually happening, like once it was like go time, it wasn't that long.
Right. There was no complications or nothing?
No, I mean, we are very, very lucky. My wife was able to push very well. When Otis was born, it was like one of the peak parts of COVID-19. So you could have, as you know, you gave birth not like a week after. You could have no family members in there other than you and your partner, who's obviously giving birth. So we had a doula, which I didn't know what a doula was, but it was a thing. And they were great. She was great. And we also were starting with the midwife. Because my wife was younger and healthy, there was no issues, no complications. And then midway through the procedure, Otis's heart rate dropped enough where they were a little bit concerned, but it wasn't. It's fairly common to happen. The OBGYN came in. He was amazing. And then Otis came in within like 3 seconds. So my wife had delivered Otis most of the way. They put something on his head called, like, I think it's called a Bush Tomp. I'm not exactly sure what it's called. It's like a vacuum. And they kind of suck him on the head for about a half a second. Up pops the baby. And what's funny is that you may know this. I work with all the OBGYNs in the province. So it was funny because the doctor knew me. The nurses were like, "Who the hell is this idiot? Why do you know him?" And
right.
The first thing out of the doctor's mouth isn't like congratulations to my wife. It's hooray! I just delivered Nano's kid. So it was funny. And then the next day, in the recovery room, I had two surgeons come in to say hello because they knew us. And then there was another doctor, like a couple other doctors at RCH, text me. So it was a nice little welcome.
No kidding, Mr. Celebrity over here.
If it involves the uterus, probably. But
oh, that's amazing. So okay, so she comes in. So then the next day, it's New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And you have now a baby. Is it like? I mean, it must be. Were you the? So you just missed out on, I guess, the first baby born in the new year. Were you kind of hoping for that?
No, actually, I was hoping he would be the last kid born of the year. So he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was like, I think one kid was born at like 11 o'clock, but it was actually kind of perfect for him because he was born, and we got to like getting to know him the first few hours, and then he was still awake. Obviously, 12 o'clock hit. We actually, one of the very first pictures we have of Otis is him wearing these Happy New Year sunglasses as a brand like fresh out of the womb. Like one
what
of
a shot!
Pictures. He's wearing a Happy New Year. And he's recently born. He's just this teeny tiny little thing, and it's hilarious. And we thought, the more that we thought about when he was born, we're like, this kid for the rest of his life is gonna have a party on his birthday every single year. And it's not gonna be New Year's party, it's gonna be the Eve, which he's gonna party on to the New Year. So he's gonna love it.
That's true, yeah. He's gonna be the last, he's gonna be the end of the year, everyone's gonna be wanting to party with him and take on the new year. So
well,
that's a pretty positive way to look at it.
What's crazy too, just a more of a coincidence, is one of my best friends and my groomsman in my wedding, his baby was the first baby born in Kelowna on January 1st, 2020, and my baby was, I think, the last baby born in Burnaby or New Westminster last day of the year 2020. So they're a year apart by like bookends, if you will.
No, exactly. Yeah. So, but it's still, that's a cool thing. If they become friends, like, you were the first, I was the last, almost the last.
And they're both named after musicians. So.
Oh, nice. Otis Redding.
Yep.
Right on. Well, that's cool. That's I don't hear a lot of stories. A lot of the guys that have come on here have had complications with their labor. So you're the first for sure to just go in, bang it 4 hours. You're good to go.
Well, that's all my wife. She's a rock star. That's nothing to do with me. I just more of a figure that's there getting water. Really, you can't. You're helpless in the OR. Like, you're helpless in the delivery. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, you can't do anything. You can just be there as a support person, cheer them on. Like, that's so a doula, for example. What you may or may not know, I didn't know this, but they're like a birthing coach almost. So they're there to really support the individual or the partner delivering. And they help with breathing exercises, some massage, some stuff to like get your position correctly. They can be a patient advocate, and it's great. It's like a skill set designed to be a comfort person for the parent who's delivering. And that's where I was like, you know what? What if there was a doodla? And this is a joke my buddy Peter and I came up with when we were going on a hike. He's like, yeah, what if you just had somebody that was also in the room, but this time for the dad, cheering him on, getting him a beer. We're like, nope, that would not fly in the OR. But but we always thought the phrase doodla would be funny, but my wife did not think that was funny at all. So
I'm sure that didn't go too well.
Yeah, it was not a good joke.
She'll be like, what did you do for 9 months?
Yeah.
Because I carried your kid.
Yeah, you did nothing.
It is. I mean, that's why I started this podcast, the experience as a dad, especially for your first time. I think that's what, like, the biggest thing for a lot of people. They don't really know what they're getting into. And you see it on the movies. You see your friends talk to you about it. But when you get there, you literally don't do anything besides make sure your wife's okay, hold her hand, maybe like help her with her clothes and that stuff. But when it comes down to like game time, it's, you kind of have to step back. And then like, if they ask you to do anything, you just have to be like, okay, yeah, no problem. I'll do this. Help here, help there, kind of thing.
Yeah, the most important thing you can do is be calm. Just be cool as a cucumber. Make sure that they've got water because it's exhausting from what I understand. So just be relaxed. Don't make stupid jokes. Just whatever your wife needs or your partner needs, or whatever giving birth needs, do that.
That's amazing. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what they tell us. And what now that I've gone through it, obviously the second time will be a bit different and maybe a bit more prepared and I won't be as nervous, but I'm glad that you had a great birth, both of you and your wife.
Lucky. We had a great baby, great birth, and it all the credit goes to the wife, though. She was the real trooper on that one. Well, and the delivery team, like the doctors, the nurses were all incredible, and the doula and the midwife, like the whole birthing team was fantastic. Big shout out to them because we're lucky that we have such talent in British Columbia.
Oh, it's incredible the way the it was like when you're watching, it's a bad analogy, but like IndyCar when you bring it into the pit crew and like they just know what to do when it arrives.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the biggest thing for me was when problems did arise, there wasn't a question, there wasn't, what should we do? It was just boom, boom, boom. This is the situation. We have everything around us. I mean, they've been doing it for years, so it's no surprise, but it was just nice to see.
When Otis was born, we requested like immediate skin to skin, but because there was like a his heart rate dropped at some point, we made sure that he was all good. So he was born, the pediatrician came into the room, grabbed him, did the testing. Like, I held him first, took him over to the site, and then they put him down. And this pediatrician is known to be a bit cantankerous, but no, was in there, played with Otis. He's like, "This baby's perfect." Hands it back to me, walks out of the room. The whole thing took like 2 minutes. I was like trying not to laugh because it was so funny
Right.
to me, and it was such an inappropriate time to break out in laughter. So I was like,
Right.
"I'm just gonna stomach this."
Honestly, I'm, and it's kind of the same thing that you have all these like, not questions, but you have these thoughts of like what it's supposed to be like, and then yeah, like they said, they're like, yeah, you're good to go. Here you go. And Lex, luckily, I mean, a lot of people had didn't get this opportunity, but we did skin to skin for like an hour, right after. Like they gave Lex the baby. The doctor didn't even take her. Like, and then I cut the cord and they kind of clean it up, and then she just chilled with the baby for like an hour. It was pretty amazing. And so then they cleaned up all around. And then yeah, they're like, okay, we're ready to take you to your room. And obviously Lex was still a bit frozen, so we wheeled her and we went and stayed. We stayed for 2 nights. How long do you stay?
Yeah, tonight's.
Yeah, all right. And so, okay, so you have the baby, it's New Year's Day, you're staying 2 nights, and then you bring them home. Was there a nervousness? Did you guys have everything set up? What was your first feeling, if you remember?
We had most things set up. I think for me was the immediate, like the first night when we're in the room together, all three of us, and you're always checking in on your baby, making sure they're okay. And what happened was there was this little container of Vaseline that they left there with the baby. At this point, I didn't know how to change a diaper. I didn't know how to swaddle the baby at all. And so they just left it there. And I'd always read about meconium, which is like the very first few baby poops. And for anybody listening that has not experienced this, it's like this viscous La Brea tar-like texture that sticks to anything but doesn't smell bad. It's like a sweet kind of like black tar molasses. And it's very gross, but and it's literally very sticky. And I didn't know that the Vaseline was for you to preemptively put it on your kid's butt prior to this coming out, so to take it off it's clean. I'm like, oh, okay, they left us this thing of Vaseline. I'm guessing it goes somewhere. Later on, the nurse comes in. It's like, oh yeah, you should use that. It's to put on the butt to make sure that comes off easily. Otherwise, it's like trying to remove tar. I'm like, that makes sense. But
Oh yeah, you're like, I did that, tried for an hour.
yeah, but yeah. So he's born in the first couple nights. We would just, we would just look at them and hold them and be like, wow, we made this. And it's, I think the reason why you do skin to skin and why you hold your baby like that is because it releases, I believe, oxytocin. And it's effectively drugging your system into falling in love with your kid. It's like an evolutionary mechanism so that kids can survive. And the reason why babies look generically cute and they all look a little bit like a cute larva at first is because you're not supposed to be able to distinguish them right away. It's an evolutionary safety technique. So kids can live, so you're not gonna kill your baby. So you
Wow.
connect with them immediately through that like that chemical transfer. You're like, I love my kid. I love my kid more than anything in the world. I will never let anything bad happen to this child. so that by the time you're like, you kind of those sensations calm down, you're home and safe. But initially, you're flooded with your emotions. So I was crying, like at moments I was, you know, sweating, I was going through a host of emotions, but all of them echoed with love, right? So that's kind of the first 48 hours of feeling with them.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your whole life, you just, it's just pauses, and you just can't comprehend the fact that, you know, your wife created this human being that you've been lying beside for the last 9 months, and then now it comes out, and now you're sitting beside it, or you're lying beside it, and it's just looking up at you for a second going to bed. It sleeps most of the time. It's the most craziest feeling in the world.
Yeah. You're rooting for it. You're rooting for them to breastfeed. You're rooting for them to take foods. It's like you're cheering them on where they go pee. You're recording it in your apps about, you know, okay, I guess they're alive. I guess they're breastfeeding. Great. Awesome. Or I guess they can formula feed or whatever it is. So.
That's so funny. You're bringing up so many points that I kind of forgot about, especially like the rooting is like, you're like, oh my God. Okay. She pooed twice today? You're like, oh, perfect.
Oh, you're like still kicking. Yeah, I might get pooed three times. What up? Like, you're bragging about shit that you normally wouldn't be bragging about. You're like, oh, yeah, they took a good ounce. Booyah. And you're like, that's great, bud. That's a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've had those conversations where, like, the parents are a bit older. The kid's, like, 3 or 4 now. And they're just like, oh, I remember those days. You're so excited. Blah, blah, blah. That's so funny.
One thing I will say though, in terms of like leading up to it, there are a lot of like new expecting father books out there, but they're all like super cringy. I don't know if you got your hands on any of them, but a lot of them make it out to sound like the fathers are like morons, like complete dumbasses. Or if they're not that, they're like super misogynistic and like really offensive. I'm like, who's reading this drivel? It's garbage. Toxic like literature for men. It's terrible.
Right. How many did you read?
I browsed like 3 or 4 of them. I never read them. I would like pick them up in bookstores and read to go through them or look at their reviews. I'm like, this does not sound like something I want to get behind. I'm like, I'm just gonna be a good father. How about that? Let's lead with that. Let's lead with certain things that make sense.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Everyone tries to tell you how it's gonna be and what you should do, kind of thing. And at the end of the day, I've just realized, just listen to your kid. Your kid will tell you what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, if she doesn't like something or he doesn't like something, he'll let you know. And no book's going to tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of learning you can do. There's some great resources online, both paid and for free. And there's also some good generational wisdom you get from your family and friends. But to your point, Paul, there is a lot of things that you're just going to learn while doing it, right? So you're going to find out, maybe your kid absolutely loves nectarines. Maybe they hate them, right? Maybe your kid loves roly-poly. Maybe they hate it, right? So it's there are things that you're going to know work for your kid, and it's going to be your journey with them.
Yeah, 100%. That's what's the best about it. You mentioned a circumcision story.
Yeah.
Let's dive into that.
We were going to get Otis clipped because of some medical reasons. We just want to make sure that, you know, that was done correctly. And in British Columbia, one of the big names in this is Paulette Clinic. If you've ever, you know, if you grew up here for the past 30 years, you'd have heard their commercials on the radio. So their clinic, we went there to get this booked. And you usually want to do it pretty early on in the child's, you know, age. So in like the first 3 months, ideally. And so we looked into it. We looked at the pros and the cons and what, you know, what it entailed. And we said, okay, this is, you know, this is the journey we're going to go on with Otis. And we booked it. So we go to the procedure. And I'm, as someone that's in a lot of doctor's offices, you know, I went there. The intake was very nice. The whole procedure was very good. The surgeon explained everything. It was a very, like, a very warm environment. It wasn't, like, callous at all. And it was very, very efficient. I think the whole thing in and out was like 15 minutes. And then they also, I think, let Sarah feed Otis for like another half hour there before we left. It was very, very good, very good experience. Everything across the board, no issues. And as we're leaving, the doctor's like, all right, so here's this page, one page I want you to read. Please send me some pictures 4 days from now. of how everything's going, and we'll touch base. So like you're in this flurry of like of emotion at this point. Your kids just got circumcised, and you go home. And on the car ride home, it dawns to me that I have to send dick pictures of my son to a physician like a week later. So I start mulling this over in my head. I'm like, oh, this is messed up. But then I realize my phone has no more capacity for storage, so I have to do this on my work phone, and I'm gonna send this via text message, image message to the doctor's cell phone. And then my mind goes into a very weird place where I'm like, does this guy just have a phone filled with infant dick pics? Like, is he just getting these things fired to him every other day? Like, oh, what do you think, doc? And then like, and then the even more messed up part of my brain is thinking, like, there's no specific question, like images he's requesting. Like, does he want angle shots? Does he want it in sepia? Does he want it full color? Does he want it in portrait mode? Like, what is this guy wanting from me? And I started stressing out over the types of dick pics I have to take for my son's, circumcision photo. So needless to say, I'll be getting like neurotic over this. So then I'm like, okay, I have to take this with my work phone. So I'm already stressed out over the composition of the picture, the lighting I have to take, the fact that I even have to do it. And I'm also stressed out to make sure that it's healing properly, right? Which it is, it's doing fine. But I'm no judge of this. And then I get realized I now actually have to tell this to my workplace, and I have to get in front of this, because if this ever gets pulled in a drag server like search about something that's happening, I can get flagged. So first thing I do is I call up the head of HR, and I'm like, see, here's the thing. In about 4 days from now, I have to send four infant penis pictures to a clinician. It's my son's penis. It was for a medical procedure. I just want to get in front of it, because if this ever came up, I've now documented that we've spoken about my son's penis. He starts dying of laughter. He's like, yeah, we're good. Noted. But then I also have to talk to my boss, tell him the exact same story. He's howling, and he's like, I can appreciate this. This is a very weird conversation we're having, but thank you for letting me know. And we're good. So then 4 days go by, and it's like time for the photo shoot. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I'm like holding his leg back and like taking a photo and like hopefully making sure there's no shadow from the lights and everything, and make sure he's like nicely cleaned and everything. So I take the four pictures, and I'm like, it's like the
Why
very
four?
because that's what was requested, four photos. I don't know why the number is four.
He said four. I need four.
Yeah, I'm like, do I give him five? Like, do I get naughty on this one? I don't know. So then I send the photos, but like right before I hit send, I get that weird feeling. When you like you first started, like when you were like 19 and you first started dating someone and you're waiting for them to get back to you, you're like, oh, are they gonna respond right away? I don't know. So I send them the pictures, and then I'm like, all right, it's done. It's done. Let's see what's up. See what's up. And I go. But then I'm like, do I just send the photos, or do I like give it some preface information? Like, do I have to give them context? Because, like, you don't want a gorilla send infant dicks to a person, right? So I want to make I'm like, hey doc, this is Mr. Howa, this is my son's photos. And then I'm like, then I panicked, and I'm like, so like 2 minutes go by, I'm like, what do you think? Question mark, question mark. I'm like, I don't know. What do you ask this? Like, what do you do in this scenario? I've never this is a very this is something I've never experienced before. So,
Trying to get saucy with the doctor.
He's like, replies back, all good. And I'm like, all right, we're good. We're awesome. I was like, fist pump and right. Thinking this episode is over, right? We're all good. No. So, like a week later, they hit me up on my email saying, hey, Mr. Hawa, we would love it if you left us a Google review on. And I'm like, oh, Google reviews are my specialty. So I left them a glowing review, and it is one of my favorite pieces of literature I've ever written. So
Oh my God. You're gonna have to send that over to me. Like the Google, not the pics, the Google review. Well, what does so you said you want to talk about social smile?
Yeah. So, one of the things that is like really cool as a dad when you're connecting with your kid is the fact that they're like is that they can start social smiling pretty quickly. But initially what it is like they just start smiling. That's all they're doing. They're smiling for no reason. But then when they actually start to like recognize that they can smile on cue, that's when your heart explodes. And like, that's, as a dad to me, like seeing him smile, like genuinely smile, like not like a reflexive smile, but genuinely smile. That to me was one of like my favorite moments, because it was just, it was so pure. And then hearing him laugh for the first time as well, that was, that to me was hilarious, because it showed that he's like, he's growing, right?
Right. And that he's able to do something, and he's like, oh my God, this feeling that I'm getting.
Yeah. And the other thing that I loved about it was that his laugh was so, just so pure, and it was so guttural, so deep. So when he would laugh, it would be like his whole body would laugh. And when he smiles, his whole body would smile. So that's what I loved about the social smile part. It was just such a cool experience to see that develop in him and in a person. So I loved it.
That's amazing. Yeah. No, I mean, Bailey's going through that. I would come around the corner and I'm just like, Bailey, and her head's now turning and she's just like the biggest smile. And you're like, come on, how do you like continue life? Like, all you want to do is that all day.
Oh, it's so rewarding.
Yeah, it really is. We talk a bit about social media.
Yeah.
On this, obviously, I have an Instagram account for this, so I use social media for the podcast. I haven't put Bailey on social media yet. It was a decision that me and Lex decided. We kind of want to keep, you know, her face private for the first year, probably.
Yeah.
In the sense that we don't, you know, we don't really want someone that we don't know seeing our kid. What are your thoughts on it?
I think everybody's going to have their own level of comfort regarding that, and you have to respect that. So some people, like, for example, for me, my social media is never really about me sharing, you know, the great and fantastic things I do in my life. It's this goofy shit that I see. It could be anything as somebody drawing a dick on the Hamburglar to my son eating a tomato, right? So,
right. It's a wide range.
Yeah, it's in that range, and I try not to do anything that's going to exploit him or it's going to make him feel bad older when he's older. But I think a few pictures here and there are harmless. But if a family has decided that's not what they want to do, then that's just not what they want to do, and that everybody should be fine with that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, social media helped out a lot at the beginning. We were talking earlier about books and things on the internet. Me and Lex for sure went on YouTube and on people's Instagrams to give advice while she was pregnant, like, what do you do in your fourth month or your fifth month kind of thing. And so we did use it as a positive thing. I just feel we both don't have personal Instagrams. Like, I use the New Baby Who Dis Instagram for my own kind of, like, it's, I like follow everything that's dads, because there's some pretty hilarious like accounts out there of what dads go through and like dad jokes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just to interact with other people that are going through it. But we don't have actual like personal where I would sit there and be like hanging out at the gym or out for dinner with my babe kind of thing. Like,
yeah, no,
we don't do that.
Some of that self-aggrandizing bullshit that you see on Instagram is like, dude, I don't give a shit about your steak dinner. I do not care. Like, yeah. Or it's like, oh, you ate an ice cream cone at this one place in Calgary. Congratulations. It's just self-congratulatory, cringy bullshit that I just don't.
What are you doing as far as screen time with your baby? Do you let them watch TV? Do you care? How do you feel about the whole situation?
On occasion, we'll watch some like a Star Wars show together, but really nice. not a lot. And we're trying to read to him as much as we can. So he's got every night we read him, you know, like a one book, and then always finish off with Goodnight Moon. Sometimes a little bit more books, but
classic.
But whoever did the illustrations for Goodnight Moon, when they got to the bears, they're like, "What do bears on LSD look like?" Oh, this. So if you haven't seen that picture, go stop what you're doing. Go buy Goodnight Moon. Turn to the page where there's three bears sitting on chairs. Look at those bears' eyes and tell me that they are not on drugs. I'll wait. So.
Oh man, that's perfect. So you read a book every night?
Well, we'll read definitely Goodnight Moon, and then each, like, a variety of other books that we have for the evening for him that vary. Sometimes there's like a, some books are shorter than others. So there's one book called Goodnight Gorilla, where it's this gorilla that leaves the zoo with the zookeeper, but on the way out the zoo, it lets go of all the animals, which is very inconvenient. And then those animals follow the zookeeper back to his home and all get into bed with him. These are vicious, like apex predator animals. Then the wife wakes up, doesn't lose it, just says, hey, put these animals back to the zoo, which implies he's done this before. And then the animals go back to the zoo and it's all good. But we only read that book when it's a quick night, because we want that book. That book goes pretty quickly. So,
right. What's a quick night? What is your like bedtime routine?
So bedtime routine is usually around 6:30. You know, we get him ready for bed. So we kind of, he'll calm down. We change him. He'll get a feed. And then we'll put him in the sleep sack. Read him one book, and then read him Goodnight Moon. Usually lotion him up if it's not hot out. And then we sing his goodnight song, and then we put him down. And then he sleeps for like 12 hours. And then around like 8:30, 9:30, we do a dream feed. And then he sleeps for like 12 hours. We have since stopped doing that dream feed because he doesn't need it anymore. So he's now sleeping like 11, 12 hours consistently, and that's been wonderful.
Love it. So, okay, yeah, so we're going through that too. And Lex is saying, yeah, we're starting to give her solids now. And what we do is bath, she feeds, and then she sleeps. Like when we were on vacation, actually just this last week, she slept for the longest seven hours. But the usual average is down between 6:30 and 7:30. And then she sleeps till about 1 or 2. And then Lex will take her out, give her a feed, lay in bed for a bit, and then back in the crib. And then it's kind of hit or miss whether she stays in the bed or she's back on the crib for the rest of the night, and then I'm up around 6, and then it's kind
of
a different...
I can buy you some of the stuff that we use if you want.
Yeah, for sure. Anything can help. So, but I mean, she's doing great. We haven't done any sleep training, and I feel like it's getting better and better. But yeah, for sure, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, no, whatever you need, man. I know how hard it is with the sleep. It's not
fun. Is he in your room or does he have his own room?
He has his own room. It's also my office, which is why he's sleeping in there, and I'm in my bedroom right now. And we're moving shortly, so we'll have three rooms eventually. But we got very lucky. Like, he's got a good disposition, and he sleeps. He's like me. Like, I can sleep anywhere, and so he's like that. He can like put his head down. He's out.
That's amazing. Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do. I know it's Sunday night, and you got a Monday morning tomorrow, and this was amazing. And I feel like we could talk for hours, so maybe I'll have you on in a couple months as a follow-up, and we'll talk about some other stuff.
Sounds good. Well, happy episode 18, bro. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone.